Weekend Drive is brought to you by Naked Lime. To find out more, visit www.nakedlime.com. That's www.nakedlime.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of Weekend Drive. I'm Mike Martinez, and joining me in the Automotive News TV studios, a man who always puts a spark into this broadcast, it's Mike Whalen.
I have been known to shock myself during home improvement projects, but, you know, I get them done.
That's true.
For the most part.
Speaking of shocks, speaking of sparks, we're going to talk EVs this week.
An industry that is not fully charged up, but also trying to get there.
We'll start off with the Nissan Leaf.
This week, Nissan unveiled the next-generation Leaf with a range of 150 miles. But is that enough juice to outsell its competitors?
Well, Mike, it's almost that time of year. Leaves everywhere are going to start falling from trees. But this Leaf is strong. I'm pretty impressed with what they were able to do with a second-generation Leaf. You have a 40% increase in range to 150 miles. You have really nice new styling. You have a ProPilot Assist semi-autonomous, kind of autopilot light feature, if you will. But with all that said, they're still playing from behind now when it comes to their competition, like the Bolt and Tesla's Model 3.
And I was going to say, you have hay fever if you actually think they took this far enough. Because, I mean, they're coming out with a performance model next year because they didn't do enough this time around. Yeah. And they were trying to keep the price under 30K, which they did. But they are not in the competition with the Chevy Bolt EV yet and the BMW i3S, which was just announced too. I mean, the performance is under 7 seconds for both. The Bolt has 238 miles. And I mean, the price is at $37,495 with the federal tax credit. That drops it down under $30,000. I would much rather have the Bolt EV than the Nissan Leaf, even with the new styling cues.
This is specific decision they're making. Executives said as much this past week in Detroit, saying this is a value proposition versus a range proposition. I think that's the wrong way to go. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I like what they've done here. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about electric vehicles, it all comes down to range anxiety. And I'd much rather have, like you said, 238 or the 220 for the Model 3 than the 150.
Well, you know what? When the Leaf came out, I mean, it was the first one really out there, the mass market vehicle, and it did well. I mean, it wasn't great, but it didn't bankrupt them.
Top selling EV in the market.
World. And they expect sales of this gen to possibly triple. I'm not sure that's actually going to happen globally unless they really expand the market and we get more infrastructure. But I mean, all EVs are having this problem.
It's tough, but you're seeing companies continue to adopt them. You look at Ford. We've talked about their electrification strategy. They're coming out with a 300-mile-plus vehicle. So you wonder when these guys are going to have to redesign again.
They say they're coming out with a 300-plus vehicle. And the new battery that they're going to put in there, I believe it's 60-kilowatt batteries, more powerful and higher capacity to roll out in April 2018, more than 300 range. So, I mean, eventually GM and Tesla Model 3, once that actually reaches consumers' hands, is almost going to be outdated.
I'm just worried the executives spent so much time this week talking, we're on our second generation and everybody else is on their first, as if it was a pride point. And I suppose it should be. They were an early adopter with this type of vehicle. But you can't rest on those laurels. You have to continue to innovate. You got to up it more than 150. I'm sorry.
And I mean, Mike, the segment's only going to continue to get more crowded. We've got more entries coming every week. Next week at the Frankfurt Auto Show, we're going to find new entries from Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, and Mini. And that kind of takes us to our next topic.
The Frankfurt Auto Show kicks off Tuesday, but several brands won't be on display, as executives think twice about spending money on big, lavish events. Are we coming to the end of the auto show era?
All right, before we talk about the overall auto industry and auto shows and their relevance, their importance in the kind of mobility space, let's just take a look at the debuts coming out of Frankfurt. We've got Audi A7, Audi A8, bunch of BMWs, including the i3 and i3S that we mentioned in the previous segment, Ferrari, Great Wall, Hyundai, Jaguar, Kia. Not a lot of mainstream brands. You do have Opel Grandland X in there, which is actually Peugeot, and that kind of combination that they made out there. But it doesn't seem like particularly the Americans are coming out there too much.
That's right, Mike. You listed all the ones that will be there. How about the ones that won't be there? You got FCA, Nissan, Volvo, Mitsubishi. Ford's going to have kind of a more understated show, just showing the European version of the EcoSport, which they are bringing to the U.S. and they made the big splash with. More and more, you're seeing these automakers pull out of the shows and reallocate their resources. So I think the auto show era is over with the way we know it.
I don't think it's over with yet. I mean, we kind of have a cyclical nature to the business. People are going to be drawn to the auto shows to get that big splash in there, particularly the Europeans. They still like it a lot. But let's say GM, Ford, FCA, even to a much lesser extent, have been kind of doing their own private events because they can get the attention just on them.
That's exactly why they're doing it. And Ford's a perfect example. 2015 Detroit Auto Show. You have that huge reveal with the GT. Yeah. Nobody saw it coming. You have the Raptor and some of the other performance vehicles with that. 2016, they show a Fusion Sport, and they do some mobility stuff with Ford Pass, which was kind of made you scratch your head and wonder.
That's a whole nother discussion on Ford Pass. But
Last year at the auto show, they didn't show a single new vehicle. They showed a refreshed Mustang after the press days were over. And at other shows this past year, Chicago, they brought media to Dallas the day before the Chicago show to show the Expedition away from the show. And in LA, they had a bizarre event with DJ Khaled showing the EcoSport away from the LA Auto Show. So they're choosing to do these offsite events. And I've talked with people there and they said that's why. Instead of having all eyes on every brand that's there, you can have people just paying attention to Ford, and that's a bigger bang for their buck.
Well, and unfortunately, you can also kind of siphon through who you want to be there and invite-only events where maybe if you had a certain publication that you didn't want there or thought negatively of the brand, then they couldn't see the unveil or anything like that. I mean, that's just kind of the inner workings of some of the automakers as well.
Shout out to all those digital influencers.
But, I mean, overall, yeah, I don't see the end of the auto shows, though. The auto shows are, at the end of the day, are for consumers. While we as media go into them and look at them, at the end of the day, they draw millions of people to the shows and they continue to, whether it's Detroit, LA, Frankfurt, I believe I haven't been out there that much. But I think we're not going to see the end of it anytime soon.
That's a good point. Maybe the media portion will change, but people will still be able to go see the new stuff.
And Mike, I mean, only time will tell with what is going to happen with the auto shows and if they can adapt to the changing dynamics of the automakers. And now let's get on to a more serious topic after the break.
Scared to leap into the digital marketing world? Visit Two Rivers Ford and listen to how Naked Lime made their lives a little easier and marketing a little less scary.
Over the 20 years I've been doing this and we've spoken with vendors, I'm always told, don't worry, our customer service is bar none, number one. And over the years, I've kind of learned to take that with a grain of salt, because 99% of the time, it's not true. With Naked Lime, you're the 1%. I've never worked with such professional people. Every department has gone up. Our sales department's gone up, our social media's gone up, our service department's gone up, our page views have gone up. You can't put into words how much easier it's made my job.
We see the results firsthand because we're here with the customer and enjoying the success of those results. The thing that surprises me is that everybody doesn't use Naked Lime because it's so successful. We're glad everybody doesn't. Our job would be harder.
For more information about Naked Lime services, check out www.nakedlime.com. That's www.nakedlime.com.
Extreme weather events are hard to forget. From Snowmageddon to Hurricane Sandy, and recently Hurricane Harvey. Besides remembering the damage and heartbreak, what else should the auto industry learn from natural disasters?
Mike, really some incredible pictures and videos out of Texas the past week or so, and to be honest with you, it's even more incredible that we didn't even see more destruction.
Yeah, and I mean, the automakers as well as a lot of the outside analysts have been talking about it might not have been as bad for the auto industry as they might have initially thought.
And that's because a lot of dealers, a lot of people in the area were prepared. This is not new in that region or anywhere in the South. Hurricane season is a thing. From Katrina to Sandy to Harvey now. And you learn valuable lessons when you go through any type of natural disaster.
And it seemed like these guys did.
And you know, Jessica Caldwell with Edmunds.com actually told me that when she was in Texas, she remembered seeing a lot of the dealers have multi-story dealerships. I mean, in the Midwest, we see them kind of sprawled out across a lot of land.
Sure.
There, they had a lot of multi-story where they could actually get the inventories up.
Well, it can be anything from that, or you could have lifts. I saw some folks use lifts to raise up more expensive, exotic type cars. And it could also be things as simple as moving from paper paychecks to an electronic payment system. I saw a story of one dealer that did that. That way, the employees could still get paid if they were working from home or something like that. Or it's a matter of bagging up your electronics, shutting down your computer at your desk to make sure if it does flood, if there is damage, try to mitigate that.
Honestly, I mean, obviously our hearts and thoughts are with everybody still down there and cleaning up. But I mean, can the industry actually learn anything from these natural disasters, or can they be more prepared for them?
Well, you just have to maybe hire risk management teams, maybe hire emergency response teams.
I mean,
insurance is always a plus.
Yeah.
But continue to do some of the best practices that they've learned from this past week and from other disasters, and you'll continue to see more improvements. You know, for example, Ford says it has 114 dealerships in the Houston area. Only 10 received substantial damage. Now, granted, each of those 10, you know, that's a life-changing event, and we hope that they can bounce back. It's going to be a long road, but I'm sure they can do it. But amongst their whole portfolio, you know, they said maybe only a couple thousand vehicles were affected, and they were encouraged by that.
And I mean, Mike, obviously it's not just Ford, all the automakers. And I mean, Toyota really stepped up big. That is their home state now for the North American operations. The company, their financial arm, their dealership groups promised over $3 million for the relief efforts. And I mean, that just has to help out. And like we said, they are really adapting, trying to provide for their home community now.
And this isn't going to end anytime soon. You're going to continue to see those relief efforts underway. You're going to continue to see the cleanup underway this upcoming week and probably well into the end of the month. And we'll be keeping tabs on all of that. So stay tuned to autonews.com as well as our print publication.
And Mike, obviously we have more on this as well as the unveiling of the Nissan Leaf in the print edition. Do you have anything else that coming up?
Tell you what, Mike, there's a fun fact. The average age of a minority dealer is 63. So they need to start looking about succession planning. And our own Vince Bond has an interesting story about how NAMAD is working with minority dealers to figure out who the heir apparent will be for each of those dealerships.
Interesting take. Remember to check that out in the print edition, and we will see you next week.